exulting. For it's a great privilege to be alive. It's a great privilege to have life. It's a great privilege to have the breath of life. Let us just thank Him in this season of harvest, in this season of delivery. Like we know that in the natural sense, at the end of the ninth month is the month of delivery. And I know that everything that the Lord has prepared for us, the maturity is this month. So let's just give Him thanks. Magnify His name. Thank Him. Exalt His name. Oh, Father, we give You thanks. Thank You for our children. Thank You for our family. Thank You for our career. Thank You for what You said to do, the new thing that You said to do in our lives. Thank You, Lord, because You empower us to fulfill Your will, Lord. Be exalted. Be magnified. Be lifted high. As we look into Your word today, Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that You will reveal unto us yet another secret of the step that we will take, that will take us to the next level of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. That the Bible made us to understand that without the word, there was nothing that was done, that was made. And therefore, that same word will remake our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The encounter with the word will transform our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We were told that the earth was without form. It was null, it was void. It was full of darkness. Nothing to celebrate in it. Until the word came. And when the word came, everything changed. I decree that the word of change is coming our way right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That word of change, we speak change in our destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That word of change, we speak change concerning our health in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The word of change, we speak change into the life of our children in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we give You thanks. Sweetest Holy Spirit, we exalt You. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. As we take our seat, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. I welcome you all into His presence today. We're serving a living God, a God that is faithful. He changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like we normally say, the God of this world, they are dead. They don't have life in them. But the God that we are serving, He is a living God. He is called the Most High God. He is called the Unchangeable God. He is called the Ancient of Days. He is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is known as the Arugu Ojo in Yoruba, what means called the Ancient of Days. And Him alone deserves to be exalted. Thank You, Jesus. And the word of the Lord came to us at the beginning of the month, talking about our prophetic focus for the month. Let's open the Bibles, our Bibles, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse. Let's start from verse. Let's start from verse 30. Matthew chapter 6. Let's start from verse 30. He said, wherefore, are we there? He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have the need of all these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said, your heavenly Father knows that you have the need of them. So, he didn't say we should pretend as if we don't have needs. The Bible says that God will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say, don't you know that you don't have any need? No, we have needs. But the confidence that we have is that God will supply all. And so we continue with the series of our teaching, Living a Purpose-Driven Life. You remember last week we said, it's rather you are not being born than to be alive and don't know why. Life without purpose is a tragedy. And that's why we see a lot of abuses here and there. People coming up with their own opinion of what the reality is supposed to be, because they are not conscious of the purpose of God. God gave us a lot of resources in many nations that we are supposed to use to fulfill destiny, to fulfill his agenda for that nation, for that entity. But we use it for something else. Because we're not conscious of the purpose for which those things were given. Hallelujah. God gave us purpose for life. Thank you, Jesus. He gave us a reason to live for us, where we are existing. It's not the kind of God that will put us in darkness concerning his agenda for us. And let's go back to the book of beginning and let's see again. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We always go back to that every day. Like somebody said that you can't be closer to the beginning than that. Bible said in the beginning. And so scientists, they've tried to give us some of definitions, and they said, oh, the world has been existing, oh, the creation has been existing so billion years of ago. But by the time you ask them to explain it, you see, they can't even defend their own. It's just assumption. And so in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Over every creeping thing. Over every creeping thing. Let mankind have dominion. So, Bible said in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, verse 28, he said, and God blessed them. Say, God bless them.
God bless them.
The Lord bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord God Almighty bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your going in is blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your coming out is blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I release the blessing of the Lord upon your life afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, God, Bible said, God bless them. And like we said, the word bless them is not just like he said, oh man, Adam, kneel down, close your eyes. In fact, at that time, it was not a living soul. So there was no way he could have even had it. It was just ordinary clay that he already molded. So he couldn't have had, oh, close your eyes, Adam, I want to bless you. It's good to close our eyes when we are praying, though, even though it's not written in the Bible that you have to close your eyes. We close our eyes to help us to concentrate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so he said, God bless them. How did he bless them? He said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the sea, over the fowl of the sea, and over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So he created man. He formed the outer man, or which was the physical body, from the clay. And if you jump to verse chapter 2 and verse 7, Genesis 2:7. Thank you, Jesus. He said, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. You know, he conceived that idea, being a loving father, and said, okay, I want to extend my domain. I want to extend my kingdom into the physical realm. He therefore created his children, called mankind, spirit being. But for them to have physical relevance, they needed the physical body. Hello? And so he molded the physical body from the earth, from the soil, from the dark earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From the soil. And then put that physical body down. And then he said, and the Lord formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the bread of life, a man became a living soul. If you are very familiar with the Hebrew, the style of the Hebrews, the word bread is the same word for spirit. Do you understand it? And that's why we know when we are doing the translation, I think the most recent translation they did in Sweden, where they had the Holy Spirit, they put the breath of God there. In some way, it's correct, although their own motive was different. But the word breath is talking about the spirit. And so the clay that he already formed, that clay that God formed, that was lifeless, that was just there, that could not do anything. He couldn't move because he was not a living soul. In Genesis 1:28, Bible said, and God blessed man. So the blessing of the man was the release of the spirit into the clay and empowerment to fulfill what he has created that man to be. And therefore, he released his purpose at that same time, and he spoke to that lifeless clay, and he said, be fruitful. So picture it this way. When he said, be fruitful, when the spirit entered that clay, he gave him the capacity for fruitfulness. Did you get it? It's like when you have this phone, you made it, imagine it to be a man, and you speak unto that one, and you said, this phone have the ability to receive call. And therefore, the ability to receive call was created and was activated in that phone. Did you get it? So when God said to the man, be fruitful, that clay was empowered. It became a living soul, and the capacity or the ability to carry out the responsibility of fruitfulness came into that man. So the blessing of the man was the empowerment of the man. Which means without the blessing, the man cannot fulfill the assignment that God created him for. So when you look at the issue of blessing, it's not just about buying cars, about buying a house, or about buying clothes or whatever. No. Just like we read in that Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. He said, for after all these things do Gentiles seek for, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have the need of them. Those things that we turn into our substance now are the things that God gave us to us as package of things that we need to fulfill our assignment. We are supposed to pursue the assignment, but not pursue those things. Because those things were supposed to come naturally. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just like when I say, okay, I give you the contract to paint this room. Maybe white color. Of course, I supply you with the money, or I give you the material, the paint, the brush, the everything that you need to fulfill the assignment. And so the blessing of the man was the release of the empowerment to fulfill the assignment. And what was the assignment? Number one, to be fruitful. So both spiritual and physical fruitfulness. And therefore, anything that is challenging your fruitfulness, both physically and materially, and even in your career, I decree that the power of heaven visit you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Physically, we are supposed to be fruitful. That means whatever we put our hands upon, supposed to prosper. Because fruitfulness means you are prospering in whatever you are doing. He said, in verse 28, he said, be fruitful or have the capacity to be fruitful. Number two, he said, multiply. So, not just to be fruitful, increase. Multiply. Not just to say, if you want to born children, you born until you want to say, okay, I don't want again. Hello? No, the circumstance will tell you that, no, this is no more supposed to have. No. You choose how much you have. You choose even the sexes of the children you want. I want also number of females, also number of men. It is your right in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter the circumstance, whatsoever has been delaying your fruitfulness, I decree that the help of God locates you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of things can creep in. And a lot of times, they look so ordinary. I remember when I was speaking with one of my cousins then. We had only Samuel. And he said, but what's your plan? When are you going to have the other one? And I said, oh, when we settle down. I said, Femi, don't listen to all manner of manipulations. Oh.
Before you know what's happening, then the time is passing by. It was then that the Lord opened my eyes to see, because we started giving an excuse for it. Oh, you know, the ground is not level. Oh, this. Before you know what's happening, time is going. He can come with all manner of legislations and circumstances. But as the Lord liveth, the same power that made them to be fruitful in the beginning is visiting you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever has been delaying your multiplication, the God of heaven will visit you this month in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, multiply and replenish. So replenish the earth means to occupy it. Fill it up right from the top to the bottom. In fact, some people believe that the plan of God was that when we finish occupying this planet called Earth, we still go to the next one. No wonder, you see, naturally, man is driving towards, we want to go to the moon, we want to go to the deep, we want to go to the, let's go and increase. You see that naturally, when you give a man something, if that thing is good, he wants it to multiply. Because the instinct, you know, his brain was created to have more. It is only when the devil hijacks it that it becomes covetousness. Naturally, any human being in his right senses wants to have more of a good thing. Have you ever noticed this? It's not sinful, sir. Hello? You know, it's just like when a dog is closer to bark. It's natural. If no matter what, even if it doesn't see anything, you know, in Yoruba, we say, those dogs, they have the ability to see spirit. He's created to bark. It's just natural to him. Human being, we are created to multiply. Hello? We are created to increase. That's why when you have more money, you want to have more. When you have land, you want to have more. When you have power, you get power. You want to, naturally, you want to get more because you are created to multiply. The only thing is that you have to direct that desire in the right direction. Don't let the devil hijack it. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand this thing very well, because the devil knows how to lie to deceive people and say, no, you know, don't go after this one. But you see, after empowering the man or blessing the man to fulfill the purpose, he gave him the condition for the blessing to stay activated. Hello? He gave him the condition for the blessing to keep on working. Because remember, it is the work of the blessing to create that enabling environment. His multiplication was supposed to be carried out by the blessing of God. He was supposed to multiply by the blessing of God. He was supposed to become fruitful by the blessing of God. He was supposed to replenish the earth by the blessing of God. And that's why everything you need to be what you're supposed to be is in the blessing. The anointing is the blessing. The protection is in the blessing. The everything that man needs to fulfill divine purpose is in the blessing. No wonder the Bible says that cursed in everyone that hanging on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might be upon the Gentiles. Jesus died for that reason, for the blessing to come back. Because without the blessing, you cannot fulfill the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Are you getting more about the issue of the blessing? But, like we said, he gave him the condition for the blessing to stay activated. Otherwise, once it is deactivated, is that ability will depart. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. Bible said in Genesis 2:15, he said, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Remember, we said last Sunday that garden is just a spot. It's not the entire globe, not the entire earth. He planted it. And what makes it, the difference between a garden and just a bush, is just that there's pattern, and a particular pattern or orderliness in the garden. And so he gave the man the opportunity to see that and supposed to use it as a replica or as a model to fill the entire earth with the glory. That's why if you are having a party, you don't go to the bush to take picture, do you? Remember when the Mandemelas had the wedding. In fact, we had to drive to a far place to go and take the picture. But there are bushes around. You don't go to the Skogen and say, okay, oh, the bush around, okay, and pose behind them. Nobody will even look at your picture. No. Because nobody wants it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, he put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And Bible says, and the Lord God commanded. Say commanded. He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, he gave them the condition for the blessing to keep on flowing. He gave them the condition for the blessing to remain activated. He gave them the condition for the blessing to remain relevant. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 1, after they settled down in the promised land, he gave them the same condition. In verse 1, Deuteronomy 28:1, he said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. Remember in Genesis 2:15, he said, the Lord God commanded them. After they fell, of course, they were ejected from it, and the blessing turned to curses. Remember when he said that everything that they will begin to toil and struggle with that before they can make it. And now, using it as a picture of what the fulfillment is supposed to come, when the children of Israel were redeemed from slavery and they were about to settle in the promised land, he did the same thing. He said, all you need to take over this promised land and fulfill divine assignment is the blessing. He therefore said, but for that blessing to keep on flowing, this is the condition. He said, it will come to pass, if you will hearken or diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So he said that the blessing is able to set you high upon above all nations, but if you take a step against my will or against the condition of the contract that put you there, then the reverse will happen. And if you read further down from verse 15 downward, you see that it starts saying, cursed, cursed, and cursed. You will not be cursed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blessing is in the obedience to the commandment. As long as you are living in obedience to the commandment, the blessing will flow. Hallelujah. Even in the natural, when you go off your abonnement or whatever, what do you call it? You say that, okay, this you are taking this phone or this computer or this car, you are supposed to pay so amount per month. The first month, if you don't pay, the second month, what will they do? They will greet you and say, hey, what's happening? Do you have malaria? No. You see, they will react because the blessing will turn to something else. You can't enjoy the car. They will start running after you to repossess the car because you have blown or you have taken a step that is contradictory to the contractual condition. The same way, God said, you are created to be fruitful, you are created to multiply, you are created to replenish the earth, you are created to represent God in this kingdom, or in this planet, but you have to rely on the blessing of God to carry this thing out. But when you take a step against the will of God, the blessing is quenched, it is deactivated. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the reason why Jesus was speaking to them here. In the same Matthew 6, he said in verse 33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You remember when man sinned? Bible said he was sent out of the garden and God put angels with flaming sword to guard the place so that man won't enter. Isn't it? Because in that garden is the tree of life that will give life back to the man. But after salvation, when Jesus died and paid the price, the gate was lifted. They lift up your head, O ye gate. Lift up your head, O ye everlasting door. Let the King of Glory come in. The King of Glory is in his garden. And because the price was paid through the blood of Jesus, we were ushered back into the garden. That's what Jesus said. I thought somebody would shout hallelujah for that.
Hallelujah!
Because it's terrible to stay outside, though. Uh-huh. Have you ever had a situation when you are, maybe you are going, when we are growing up in school, then when you come late? And what did the man do? You know, that time in Africa, they used to give us something like that. They call it Bilala. If you come late, they give you Bilala. You see, because of sin, we are checked out. But because Jesus paid the price through his blood, Bible said, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these things shall be added. Everything that you will need to fulfill your destiny will be added. But seek to enter the kingdom first. So you enter the kingdom. How do you enter the kingdom? By applying for a visa? No. There's no embassy of heaven here on earth. We have churches called Christ Embassy, though. But it's not enough to go to Christ Embassy. The only embassy is Jesus himself. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I want us to quickly concentrate on the other part of it today, which is the righteousness part of it. Because it said, seek to enter the kingdom. When you enter the kingdom, but it is not enough to enter the kingdom. Hello? Because what drove them out was disobedience. If you enter the kingdom and you are still living disobedience, nothing will work. That was why he said, seek ye first the kingdom. Seek to enter the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness means his ways of doing things. Hello? Walk according to his instruction. He said, when you enter the kingdom and you walk according to his instructions, he said, all these things that you will need to fulfill your destiny will be added. You won't have to beg for it, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Hallelujah. If I read from St. Matthew chapter 33 from Amplified Bible, he said, but seek, Amplified Bible said, but seek or aim at and strive after. You know, strive after means to pursue with aggression. Hello? To pursue with all level of seriousness. No, you know when you don't like something and they are trying to advertise it to you. Have you ever seen a marketer coming to market something that you don't need? They are telling you, you are saying, okay, have you finished? Next person. You won't listen to him. But if it's something that you need, that you want, you will do like this, even if you are not saying it well. He said, aim at or strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness means his ways of doing or being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. It will come naturally. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
And so, when Paul was addressing Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 now. I think we'll try and round up around that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You remember that Timothy was a very young guy that who was fathered by Paul, that means spiritual father. And he was appointed to be a young pastor of that church. You see, but at that time, it was just kind of similar to what we have right now, that it wasn't very popular to do things of God. They were kind of lackadaisical or careless about the things of God. Then if you say yourself, if you call yourself a Christian, you say, Christian, okay. We shake our head for you. It wasn't popular then. And so Paul was advising Timothy. Let's start from verse 1. He said this, 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? Obviously. Because everything that is happening is pointing towards the fact that it's the last day. And if Paul was saying last day, you know when this one was written? This was when Paul was alive. Hello? And how many? I've forgotten the exact number of years when, after Jesus died, that Paul came and wrote all these things. But maximum, maybe 10, 15 years later, but I can't know the exact figure now. But if that time was described as the end time, this must be the end of the end time. Hello? If at that time when Paul was writing this, he was saying it was the end time, then we are so near. And so he said, this also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is it not happening? I mean, selfishness. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. That means talking about all manner of sexual nonsense that is happening. Say they won't have natural affection. Is it no more popular now? Hello? In history, there has never been a time when they celebrated all manner of sexual perversion, unlike now. I mean, like now, when nations, some nations are even struggling, try to legislate incest, that brothers can sleep with brothers. And they have the audacity to take them out to the house to debate. So, what Bible is saying is real. That's going to happen. Hello? When somebody will wake up and say he's no more comfortable with being a particular sex, he wants to change. It's happening. Bible said it. How many years ago? He said it will happen in the end time. It's happening now. If you want to have your crusade in your church, they won't allow you to put the flag of your church in front of the local government office. But now, what do? They put the flag of certain group of people in the front to identify with them. It's become popular. He said, having form, he said, without natural affection, natural affection will disappear. People will be sleeping with animals. And it's happening. They are celebrating it now. Hallelujah. Some people would prefer to have dog in the house than to have husband or to have wife. Is it not happening? It's happening. God already said it will happen. He said there will be truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. See, when you are good now, it's not safe to be good. They will hate you. They will hate you. Hallelujah to Jesus. That men will become traitors. Is it not happening? People have become traitors. We read in news. There was this news that they said it happened in Nigeria. A woman sold her kid. When the Bible said that, will a woman forget her sucking child? A woman that labored, that carried this thing for 9 months. 9 months to ask women. That 9 months is like 9 years old. They speak language. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But how can they forget? How would someone that carried a pregnancy for 9 months went through labor and still have the audacity to sell that child to collect money? The Bible said it will happen. It's happening. They are betraying their women are betraying their husband. Husband are betraying their wives. People are betraying their nations. People are betraying their companies, selling secrets. He said it will become common in the end time. He said they will become heady. That means they won't listen to advice. You tell them the same thing every day. They will become high-minded, become proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People will be willing to give up issue of things of God because they want to enjoy themselves. To travel all the way to Master? No. But if he has a football match to watch, he will go to London. He will even borrow to buy the ticket. But say, have you noticed that most of the Christian program, even in this nation, is free entrance? They will even write it. It's an entrance. Free. People won't come. Hello? But the thing that doesn't, they don't need. You remember one of the Nigerian actor, singer that came here? People are paying just to snap with the guy. Hello? Be sure that when you take, just because they want to put it on Facebook, that I post with somebody. The person that even snap, it doesn't know the recipe, but they are paying 500, 700 crown just to post next to somebody. But ask the same person to come to church, say, I remember my postcard is going to expire. I can't come. He will give excuse. But God have mercy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He said, having form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away. So Paul was advising Timothy. He said, don't hang around people that have this particular kind of traits that I've mentioned. Don't hang around, and God is speaking to you too. Don't hang around people that have that kind of trait. Don't hang around people who doesn't love God, because they will drive you to the world. Because they are already in the pit. It's easier for someone in the pit to bring someone down than for you to lift him up. You will not be dragged into the pit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, for of this sort, verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. They led away with diverse lusts. Verse 7, he said, ever learning and never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they are reading. Have you ever noticed that people read now? They study in the train, in the car, everywhere. They are with their iPad or whatever part they call it. They are studying, but they are not coming to the knowledge of the truth. Why? If there is a season of life that people are given to read, it's now. They read news. Information is available everywhere, Google or whatever Google you call it. But are we coming to knowledge of the truth? No. Because they are deceiving ourselves. People are deceiving themselves. He said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because you cannot come to the knowledge of the truth without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. He said, now, as James and Jambra withstood Moses, so do this also. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. He said, but they shall proceed no further. Say amen.
Amen.
For their folly shall be manifest unto men, as theirs also was. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So every agent of the devil that is discouraging the people from serving God, the judgment acts of God fall upon that devil. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every devil that will not make you to make heaven, the fire of God roast that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, I want you to vow and say, but as the Lord liveth, no member of your family will go to hell in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So make it a project. Hello? I like the testimony of Kenneth Copeland. You know, that time it was popular. People normally say that, you know, if I'm a pastor, pastor children are wayward. It's not in the Bible. The Bible said the generation of the righteous shall be mighty. So who tells you that pastor's children shall be wayward? They will give example, you know, Eli's children didn't do well. Samuel's children didn't do well. But did God tell you that he was wrong behind that? God wasn't wrong behind that. No. I want you to vow that nobody from your family will end up in hell, sir. It's possible. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, everyone, every part of your family that is not yet saved, I decree that the light of God shine upon them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The light of God will shine upon them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every veil that the devil has used to cover their eyes, we tear it open by the blood of Jesus today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now, talking to his manner of life, talking to Christ, he said, you know the way I've been doing my things. He said, faith, he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. He said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium. Now, he was talking to Paul about, Timothy about what happened to him, that, you know, how he was persecuted in Antioch, how I was being treated somewhere at Lystra. He said, what persecution I endure. He said, but out of them all, the Lord deliver me. The Lord will deliver you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord will deliver you from every form of persecution in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whosoever is digging the pit for you will be buried in that same pit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whosoever says you will not succeed in your marriage, whosoever says you will not succeed in your career, whosoever says your children will not succeed, the judgment acts of God fall upon that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The same God that delivered Paul deliver you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In verse 12, say, yea, and all that we live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So don't say, it's not only you. You'll be challenged. When you say, oh, Jesus, you say, Jesus, when you shout sin, when you never get to this level, say, tell them to shut up. Because your own time is now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, when it is your turn, everything will turn.
Amen.
It is your turn, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It is your turn to shine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is the turn of your family to shine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So don't think that some of them will change you, but the Lord will empower you to subdue them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he was telling, he said, Timothy, don't worry. No matter how powerful the generation around you look like, just like in the time of Noah, you know, Noah preached to them for how many years? 2 years? 3 years? No. he preached. They didn't listen. He said, shut up. Who told you that it will rain? Who even told you that this kind of thing that you are building will float? I have calculated it. From my own experience of geography and my own experience of physics and architecture, this thing can never float. They say, okay. But when rain came, he showed them. They say, oh, Noah, please, now open the door. I say, now God, close them. Open me, close them. I can't open. You will never take a step that you will regret in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
everyone in the ark of Noah, they were rescued. They were saved. As you are abiding in this ark of testimony called salvation, nobody will succeed in bringing you out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he was speaking. He said, Timothy, look at it. He said, don't worry. He said, but continue in the thing which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. So he told him, said, you remember that as a child, you remember Timothy was raised by Eunice. His grandmother and his mother, they were the one that influenced Timothy's life. I pray that we will be good parents to our children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Our children will not grow one day and curse us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. They will not have a reason to curse us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We will be able to raise them as giants in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everywhere they see our children, they will celebrate the hand of God upon their lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So he told him, said, you remember the way you were raised? Said, right from childhood, you know the scripture. He said, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for one, doctrine. Two, reproof. Three, correction. Four, instruction unto righteousness. So, you see, what he was saying was that, Timothy, do not worry. Do not be disturbed. You have been given a purpose to pursue from heaven. The blessing of God is ready to follow you to make it happen. But these are the conditions. Do not go against the will of God. Allow that scripture to what? To inspire you. Allow that scripture to give you reproof. Allow that scripture to correct you. Allow the scripture to give you instruction. Thank you, Jesus. Remember when Jesus was teaching them, he said, okay, they say, Lord, John taught his people how to pray. Our Lord, you never taught us. He said, okay, I will teach you how to pray now. He said, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven. That means worship the God. He said, hallowed be your name. That means you worship your Father. He said, for thy kingdom come. So the kingdom of God is in number one. Then number two, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is his will? His will is his way. He said the same thing, that when you are in the kingdom, the blessing is ready to fulfill the assignment, the kingdom assignment that God has given to you, but you have to live according to the will of God. What is the will of God? The word of God. Hello? So what I'm trying to say is that when the Bible says that seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is his will. His righteousness is his ways. For example, it is forbidden in the kingdom of God to go around and confessing negative. Say, my head is going down. You are speaking against the will of God. You are speaking against the condition for the blessing to give you supernatural health. When you say, the doctor said that my body is somehow, I can never have a child. You are speaking against the ability of the blessing to give you fruitfulness. When you say, the economy is so bad that no one can even ever make it. Every time things are not working, you know, how will it work? You are speaking, you are deactivating the ability of the wisdom to create prosperity for yourself. When you are saying, you know, in our family, when people get to a certain age, the thing just come down for them. What you are doing is that you are deactivating the ability of the blessing to put you to be the head and not the tail. And you are then activating the curses that will bring you down. Did you get it now? So every step you take against the will of God is deactivating the blessing, and there is no vacuum in the world. Is either when anytime you deactivate the business, the blessing, you activate curses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why, you know, Christianity is a serious business. It's not okay, you know, I don't mean it, you know. Hallelujah. You know, you remember when I say this one, that's okay. If somebody is having a headache, you say, okay, my head is working, not to talk another thing. Instead of saying, it is well with my head. When you say it is well with my head, you are activating the blessing to kill the sickness. But you say, ah, my head is aching badly. You are activating the causes. Those told the angels that will carry it out. They will just, and you know, those angels, Bible said, the devil is moving to and fro, so they don't have enough work. They are jobless, so they are looking for job. So once you say, my head is fucking space, it's somehow, you release them. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So he said, the work of the scripture is, number one, to give you what? Doctrine. What's doctrine? Doctrine talks about instructions, information for living, orders or directions. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to understand this thing very well because we are living in a perilous time. You know, I had one experience. I just came back late in the night, I think about last month, and I got a call. And the person identified to himself as a prophet. I said, oh. And of course, when I say prophet of God, I want to respect. I say, oh, the Lord bless you, sir. Oh, blah, blah. So maybe he didn't have enough credit, enough airtime. So the thing called, and quickly the person connected, and then the call came through WhatsApp. Then I picked it, and he said, oh, the Lord bless you. This is this Pastor Femi. Yes, I'm a prophet of God. I said, okay, the Lord bless you, sir. What can I do for you, sir? And he said, oh, you know, I've been on the mountain for past 14 days. I said, huh, hallelujah. What's happening? He said, I went to pray for something. But as I was praying, God didn't answer what I went there for. But I kept on hearing, shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom. And he said, okay, I have some words for you. You know, because, you know, immediately I started hearing it, my brain started connecting with the scripture. You went to the mountain to pray for 14 days. God didn't answer you. That means the God that you have prayed to is not God of Jeremiah. That says in Jeremiah 3:3:3. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. If your God didn't answer you for 3 months, for 14 days, that means it's not the God of Matthew 7:7 that says, seek and ask and you shall receive. Isn't it? And ask, he said, knock, and God will be open unto you. If that God can answer you, who tells you that the God that is sending you to me is God of heaven? You know, I shoot down his lies instantly. Hallelujah. Please, be vast with the scripture, because there are a lot of lazy liars calling themselves prophet now. And they want to quote one scripture. He started quoting one scripture from Psalms 125. Does it forget? You see, be ready, live ready, sir. Because they are going there manipulating people, collecting money from them. So, you know, they will call to you, 2 Chronicles 2020, say, believe the Lord your God, and so believe his prophet. But is he the prophet of God? Hello? I said, he's not Shalom. How did you see? He said, the Lord said, shalom, shalom, shalom. Go and describe. I said, okay, thank you. We'll talk later. Boom. Let's do something then. What I'm trying to say is that let's wake up. Be vast with the scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Because the scripture is for doctrine. You see, through the knowledge of the doctrine, I was able to shoot down that light fast. Hello? He said, is it good for doctrine? Number two, for reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is conviction. Say conviction. Conviction for showing people what is wrong in their lives, exposing errors. May the spirit of error not get hold of you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, go and trace every downfall. It has its result of the working of the spirit of error. You see, ministries, everything working fine. And one day, the pastor will just start taking some decision that is not informed by God. So we say, okay, now this ministry is moving fine, let's just move. There was one ministry I used to follow in Nigeria. Bam, 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 bam. And just a sudden, the man said, okay, let's move to Germany. He jammed everything. The ministry vanished. Hello? You will not take a step that will make God to depart from you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not take a step that will crash your home in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not take a step that will crash your head in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, the scripture is for conviction. It convicts you. Hello? He tells you that you are a wife. You're not supposed to be a knife. Hello? A wife creates enabling environment for his husband to achieve divine purpose. But a wife cuts it. Pam, pam. A knife cuts it because of what? Disagreement with the husband. Hello? So when God gives us the recipe for good marriage, We have to what? Follow it. You don't say, okay, I'm a professor of theology. I can't bow down. I cannot what the Bible says concerning wine. He says, submit. I can't submit to this man. He doesn't even have money. He says, salary is not up to my own. I cannot submit. See, when you do that, you deactivate the blessing from creating peace in your home. And you activate the demon that will come and cause katakata. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So the scripture is for doctrine, that means instruction. It is for reproof, that means it is for conviction. It convicts. Nobody can convict you, sir, except the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And that's why, no matter how you preach with fire, you cannot save ordinary ants. It takes the Spirit of God from the Word of God to convict sinners of their sin. It shows you your true picture that, you need God. And then you don't know what's happening. Most of us have this experience that the day you give your life to Christ, did you plan it before? You didn't plan it. Hello? In fact, my own day, it was my birthday they were celebrating. And they asked me to come and give vote of thanks. And I said, I look at everything. I think I have to serve God now. You see, I didn't listen to one single preaching from the man that they come and preach. But the Lord just arrested me that day and said, Carlo, follow me. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And as you are going in this year, I see the Lord taking you to another level of glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just mention the two remaining and just close. Number fourth work of the word of the word of God is correction. Say correction.
Correction.
What is correction? It is to straighten up again. To straighten up. Because we are not perfect. Don't ever get to a point. You know, I told my wife this one. I think I even mentioned it yesterday. I said, don't ever get to a point when you don't have people that you can respect, that can say, stop there, and you stop. Hello? Don't ever get to that point in your life. It's dangerous. When you become the all-in-all. You know, if I mess up, there are people, even in this church, that somebody can call, they speak to pastor, that say, you must call me, pastor. You see, if I want to go to the other side, you can see, because I can't see myself, everything. I may be walking like this, like this. Maybe the way I'm losing the leg, somebody is listening from the back. It will correct me. Open yourself for correction, sir. Because you are not perfect. Hello? You are not perfect. Look at Saul. When they corrected Saul, he refused to yield. What happened? He was destroyed. They corrected Eli. What did he do? He didn't yield. His family was destroyed. Your family will not be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The word of God is to straighten us up again for reformation. You see, there are things we've been holding on to that when the word of God comes, say, no, as from today. You know, that ability, that desire will die instantly in you when you see it from the word. Because the Bible said that as we behold him, as in a mirror, we are transformed from glory to glory. The word of God is the mirror with which you see yourself. No matter how angry you are, you know, most of the time, if you are angry, go and look at the mirror and see your face. You will laugh fast. Because you see the way you have squeezed it. You close your eyes. See, the mirror is able to show. So when you still look at the mirror of the word of God and you see that, the way I've been living my life, it will not lead me to the promised land. You quickly adjust. Hello? So the word of God is what? It's able to correct us. A destination that you don't move towards, you can never reach there. You can pray like pray mantis and say, oh God, and say, see a man that is diligent. Diligence. I need to adjust my life. Thank you, Jesus. The last one is for also instruction, which is tutelage, or to guide us, to educate us. The word of God is able to educate us. Let us stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, the word is for doctrine, which is instructions, of course. It is also for reproof. You know, reproof doesn't sound good, though. Especially children. Does it sound good? When you do what is wrong, and they tell you. You see, it doesn't sound good, but the only way to become better is when you yield to correction. If you say 1 plus 1 is 7, and they correct you, and you say, no, I don't like it that way. I don't like the face of that teacher. I will write 5. Will you pass national proof that way? No. Or you go to SFE, they say, okay, you write this in this way. You say, no. According to where I came from, they don't pronounce it that way. Then you stay in class D forever. Hallelujah. You see, correction, it is yielding to correction. They asked Bishop Oyedepo, they said, you don't have any abandoned project in this camp. What is the secret? He said, ah. They asked him, don't you make mistake? And he laughed. He said, ah, I do make, maybe I, he said, I do make mistake. Most likely more than any other person. But he said, but God, he kept on correcting me and I'm yielding. So we can make mistake as human being. We can decide and say, no, I want to run this company this way. And the Lord, we do what he did for Moses. Then Moses, you will kill yourself this way. Only you will judge them. Only you will pray for them. Only you will do everything. You will kill yourself. See, I said, do it this way. So God, from time to time, he comes, he corrects us, he directs us. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Right. Let's begin to give him praise that his word will do wonders in our lives. The word of God will correct us. The word of God will instruct us. The word of God will give us instructions. He will give us doctrines. He will convict us of everything that's not supposed to be there. He will guide us. He will give us the light that will follow. Let us thank God for his word. Let us appreciate him and magnify him and exalt him because of his word. His word is able to shed light into our ways. Give him thanks. Magnify his name. Worship him. Exalt him. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Help us to pray. And say, Lord, every step that I'm taking, that is taking me far away from your plan for my life, let your mercy, let your light shine upon me to correct me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let your light shine upon me to correct me. Every step that I'm taking, that is taking me away from God's plan for my life, by your mercy, let your light shine upon me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let your light shine upon me. Let your light shine upon my children. Let your light shine upon my husband. Let your light shine upon my wife. Every step that any member of our family is taking that will take them away from God's plan, Lord, let your light shine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
I want us to pray for mercy. You know, David took a wrong step. But when the Lord sent the prophet to go and correct him, what did he do? Did he say, oh, I am the king, I will cut off your head? No. He broke down. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Ah! God said, this boy, wait till I go do for him. This was a man who said, if not that he had the right attitude, he would have killed him. Because you slept with somebody's wife, you still kill the person. But God still had mercy because of his right attitude. I want us to pray, Lord, every wrong step that I've taken against your will, let your mercy prevail. Let your mercy prevail. You know, some family, their parents took wrong step. They went into idolatry. And some people are still being plagued by that curses up to now. I want us to pray for mercy. That by the blood of Jesus, let mercy answer. Let mercy answer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let mercy answer, Lord. Let mercy answer. You are a merciful God. Every step that we have taken against the will of God, Lord, let your mercy answer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let your mercy answer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Lastly, I want us to pray and ask the blessing to come upon our lives afresh in torrents. You know, he said, the blessing of the Lord make rich and added no sorrow. When the blessing is working in somebody's life, you see things, everything will be working for good. Everything will be working for God. I want us to pray. Lord, let your blessing, the blessing of the Lord, let it begin to work in my life afresh. Let it work in my ministry. Let it work in my career. Let it work in the life of my husband. Let the blessing of the Lord, let it work in the life of my children, that the children will go to school, they shall be the head and not the tail. According to your promise, Lord, let the blessing of Abraham, let it begin to work afresh in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let that blessing create our exact future, our expectation, for it is written, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lord, let that blessing speak for victory for us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in this perilous time, the blessing will protect us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, for it is written, the Lord will give his angel charge over us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we shall not become a victim. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, victory is our portion. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Lord, in this ninth month, the month of delivery, I decree that the testimony of your people shall manifest in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every of your expectations shall become testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not receive any negative report in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any news that you will receive that will make you to weep, it will not come your way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any news that you will receive that will make you to live to lose your peace, it will not come your way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The God of expansion, the God of enlargement, the God of Rehoboth that visited Isaac will visit you afresh in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I cover you with the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
I cover your family with the blood of Jesus. You will not bury your loved one in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not bury your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not have any reason to go to the mortuary to identify anybody in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.